May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus has just finished teaching the disciples a tough lesson. A lesson that contradicts what they have been taught for their entire lives. Since they were young, they've been taught that certain laws and rules are meant to be kept to keep a person clean. Ritually clean, religiously and spiritually clean. There are things they are not to touch and not to eat. There are times when they are meant to wash and certain prayers that have to be said when they wash. But Jesus, in that Jesus-y way of his that he has, turns things around. He turns them upside down. It's not what you eat, how you eat, who you eat it with, he says. That's not what defiles you. That's not how it works. He offends some when he says this, namely the religious folk, maybe like myself, the religious folk who have a great stake in things continuing to be the way they are, the religious folks who have taught the disciples and all Jewish people to keep these rules that are meant to keep people in line and keep things in order and keep them at the top of the food chain. But no surprise there, Jesus is always offending people. Jesus explains himself further to his followers and friends. No, no, it's not what goes into us that makes us unclean, dirty, defiled. It's what comes out of us. Food, Jesus explains, perhaps a little crudely, right? Food, Jesus says, goes in and goes back out into the sewer. But what we say, what comes out of us, that comes from the heart. When hatred, murder, adultery, theft, lies come out of us, well, that's what defiles us. That's what is sinful. This part of the story tracks with what we might expect to hear from our Jesus. But then Jesus and his disciples continue on their way, and maybe Jesus is tired. Maybe he's hungry. Maybe he's getting hangry. Maybe he's not having a great day. The scripture doesn't tell us, but the scripture does tell us that out of the crowd comes a Canaanite woman, a non-Jewish woman, a Gentile woman, a woman not from Jesus' own people and nation. And this woman, this mother, begs for mercy for her and for her daughter, who is tormented. But Jesus doesn't say a word. The woman must be persistent because the disciples eventually have to insist that Jesus send her away. So finally, Jesus answers her. And his answer to her somehow seems to be a direct contradiction to what he just taught. Because he tells her that he has not been sent to her kind of people. He has been sent to his kind of people. Her kind are, in fact, unclean. They don't keep the ritual laws of the Jewish people. They don't eat their food. They don't dress their way or worship their God. Jesus has not come for them. Jesus goes so far as to compare this woman and her Canaanite brothers and sisters to dogs, begging at the table of God's real children. But nevertheless, she persisted. Yes, Lord, she says, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Is Jesus beat at his own game? This woman seems to be a living example of what he's just taught his followers, of what makes a person worthy. It seems that even as Jesus walks the earth in human form, God the Creator is at work, creating a circumstance that makes dear Jesus put his money where his mouth is, so to speak. Perhaps God whispers to Jesus at this moment, even those who might appear unclean, dirty, defiled, unworthy, even they, dear Jesus, deserve the grace of God. So Jesus grants it, and the woman's daughter is instantly healed. This past week, I am grateful to have had the opportunity to teach at a camp, a Lutheran leadership camp for teens and young adults called Pinecrest. Some of you may have heard of it before. And two of our congregation's young adults, Allison Agarenzo and Ryan Toomey, are there right now finishing up their week. There were a number of pastors teaching at the camp this week, and so we all took turns leading worship in the evenings. My turn came on Thursday. I was paired up with another pastor to lead, and part of our service was to be a healing prayer service. It was camp tradition to have a healing prayer service during the week, and if you know anything about camp, you do not mess with camp traditions. So, we had a healing prayer service with laying on of hands. After the reading and after the inspiring sermon preached by my colleague, the clergy who were present lined up around the outside of the outdoor chapel with cups of blessed and scented olive oil. And anyone who wanted to was invited to go to one of the pastors for prayer. Many, if not all, of the campers and volunteers and staff people came forward to receive prayer. I prayed with people who desired healing for their conflicted families, for their own anger or anxiety, for God's presence as they dealt with MS. After many minutes of this prayer had gone by, a young African-American man, at least a good foot taller than myself, came up and bent his head down so I could reach him for prayer. As I had with all the others, I asked this young man if there was anything particular I could pray for. He looked up at me for just a moment, and I could see that his eyes were filled with tears. He looked back at the ground as he started to cry. His voice was so hoarse and so choked that I had to lean in just to hear his words. "For my grandfather," he said. "And then, for my girlfriend's sister, too." And then a pause. "For the racism," he said. "For it to stop. For our country. I am so scared." It destroyed me, you guys. It totally destroyed me. Here was a bright, handsome, youthful young man, and even in the safety of church camp, where he could talk to others about his concerns and be himself and sing silly songs with wild abandon and stay up late talking about Jesus or just eating Oreos with his cabin mates. Even in that safe, secure place, the events of the past week had crept in. They had crept in and reminded him of the hurts he knew, of the threat to his safety in a country where people who truly believe he is less than human walk the streets marching, of the life he wanted so desperately to live. It reminded him of when the people march in number and receive no clear condemnation from our president or from countless other well-intentioned white folk like myself, whom he knew from church or school, people who defended the white supremacist actions in the name of honoring all sides or free speech. Well, let me tell you, sisters and brothers, no amount of free speech is worth a threat to this bold, beautiful young man's life or the lives of countless others like him. It is what comes out of our mouths that makes us unclean, Jesus says. We have heard a lot of unclean things come out of people's mouths lately. And perhaps what Jesus himself learns in the second part of this reading, perhaps what Jesus himself learns today is that it is sometimes what does not come out of our mouths that makes us unclean. At first, Jesus does not say a word to the Canaanite woman in her pain. He wants to go on. He's got a lot to do. He wants to go forward, get on with things. Maybe because it's easier for him to stick with what he knows, with who he knows, with the issues that he himself has experienced. It is simpler if he just goes with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the God of all is not about to let that happen. The Canaanite woman's words call Jesus to task. They call him back to who he is, truly, the Lord of all, the God of all creation, the Savior of all people. That young man's words during healing prayer this week called me to task. They called me back to who I am truly, a disciple of the Lord of all, a child of the God of all creation, one redeemed by the Savior of all people, a Christian. We are about to adopt another little Christian today, Miss Amelia May Coletti. She will become a part of the family of God with us, and the words of the baptismal rite that we will say over her, they will remind us of what that means. Amelia's parents and sponsors will be asked to renounce the devil and the powers of this world that rebel against God and the ways of sin that draw them from God. And though it's usually only the parents and the sponsors that say that part, we are all going to say it together today. We are all going to renounce these things boldly together, because the devil looks like white supremacy, and the power of this world that rebels against God looks like a Nazi flag, and the ways of sin that draw us from God are silence and complacency in the face of this evil. We all need to do some renouncing today. The words of our baptismal sacrament will charge little Amelia with a big task as a Christian in this world, perhaps especially in this world today. Amelia is not only baptized and claimed by God for her sake and the sake of her salvation, she is baptized for the sake of the entire world. She is baptized so that she might learn to proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace in all the earth. Given the state of this world, it is no little task that we are putting on little Amelia. But the other thing about baptism, is you are never alone in this task. We are in this together, and God is with us as we are in it together. And so today, after the sermon, during the hymn of the day and some added music, I'm going to invite anyone who wants to come forward to the altar railing and to stand or kneel for your own anointing, just as we did at camp this week, your own anointing of healing and forgiveness and empowerment by the Spirit to live this loving word of God in the world together. Together, we will renounce the forces that defy God and work together in our nation and our world against white supremacy and for the good of all God's beloved children. We might find Jesus' reaction in the gospel today troubling, perplexing, problematic. But if that reaction teaches us anything, it teaches us that it's possible for anyone, yes, even the Son of God, it's possible for anyone, yes, even God, to have a change of heart, to make a new way, to find the path to wider and deeper and more inclusive love for all people. In baptism, that call to love is always open to us. And in baptism, we are always to open up that call to others. Thanks be to God. Amen.